I want to take a minute today and look at a simple scripture, one you've heard before, one we're actually going to come back to in January. And I don't want this to sound shallow, but sometimes when we teach and we talk to people and we try to get across the importance of faith and so forth, we skip over some of the really simple stuff. And so today, if I could tell you what I want for you this Christmas, as crazy as it may sound, is that I want you to experience a whole lot of happiness. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm actually going to tell you how. And I'm going to tell you how to approach the next few days. And I know some of you are sitting there going, and maybe if you're younger, or maybe just you love Christmas, and you're like, how are you not happy on Christmas? And sometimes it can be tough. And so I want to read you a passage about Jesus, and it's in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, and I'll just read through it, and then we'll talk about it. Paul tells us, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's a beautiful passage. I wanted to share it with you today as a Christmas passage, in a sense, because I want you to enjoy today and tomorrow. I want you to connect with God today and tomorrow, and I want you to connect with each other today and tomorrow. I want this to be a true blessing to you, and I think you're due. Can I say that? I think it's been a rough last 3 years. I think there's been a lot of setbacks and turn downs and disappointments, and I think Jesus, I know that Jesus came to help get through the kind of stuff that you've gotten through over the last 3 years. Now, I'm not really I do hug people a lot, but I'm not really a touchy-feely guy. I'm more the obnoxious kind of guy, but I do believe that we are called to have joy. And I am tired of Christians telling us to have joy with grumpy faces on. I'm tired of preachers preaching about joy who look really mad about it. And I think joy should be preceded, predicated, or founded in something called happiness. And I want you to have some happiness. So when I read the story of Philippians chapter 2, and I see what Jesus did, I realize that Jesus, God the Son, came and was incarnated, created within the story of man. The story of man. Several weeks ago, we talked about the delusion of Adam. And Jesus came to earth, the Bible says, in the form of a slave. Borrowing that, Paul, I believe, borrowing the language of Adam's delusion. And I think Jesus came to plumb the depths of those lies. And so I know that the year may be challenging and you may have had some things. I know I've certainly had some things that I wish I hadn't gone through. But I want you to know that Jesus came and he plumbed the depths of our pain. Humanity is filled with pain. It's filled with grief. I bet many of you are here today with some losses in the last 12 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it was. I bet you're here today and maybe there's someone who isn't in your life now that you wish were for whatever reason. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ came to plumb the depths of pain, to go to the bottom, the very bottom of the things that it is to be human. I think he also came and he plumbed the depths of our criticism. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to be critical? Have you ever watched the news? Have you ever been part of a gossip conversation? Never mind. None of you have. You're all too spiritual for that, I can tell. Have you noticed how that we always look to the negativity in our lives? How we look to the things, it's like We love to point out the darkness in the dark. It's like every day we stand in front of the gold mine of life and gripe about the dirt that the gold is hidden within. And I think Jesus came to plumb and mine our criticism and show us that doesn't have to be there. And let's be honest, life is filled with thousands of indignities and hurts and insults that are easy to point out because that's the dirt of our lives. But God didn't put us here to be dirt. He made us out of dirt so he could mine gold out of us. And so Jesus came to plumb our pain, plumb the depths of our pain, to explore the bottoms of our criticism, to walk through our complaints. Anyone else a complainer? I can be a complainer. I know I don't look like a complainer, but I can be. I have to work on being positive and to see what God's doing in a thing. I often forget that God is working out all things together for good. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is what the Father's doing with it. Does that make sense? And so it's easy to walk through these dark places. But Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And Jesus said to you, you're the light of the world. He came to transition us from darkness to light. To change us so that we didn't walk into the darkness and start going, man, it's dark in here. He made us so that when we walked into the darkness, we shined light. How do we do that? Well, let's begin with something simple you can use today. And when I say it, you're going to go, oh, I should have saw that coming. How about some gratitude? How about you start this weekend or this week with some gratitude about start with the joys you are experiencing. Joys in life are not about pretty paper, pretty wrapped gifts. They're about people. The best joys in life are conversations, dinners. I hate them, but games with people. I don't like games with people. I like to win, and I'm not a winner when it comes to games. Shared experience is the spice of life. So instead of looking and thinking about the things that don't go well and looking for the darkness and mining the dirt out of a gold mine, why not take some time and enjoy the things you're experiencing today? I think the kids singing was fun. We're about to do some Christmas carols. That'll be fun. We're in this together. That's fun. I've already hugged like 30 people. That was fun. I've sweat on a few. They've been anointed, and that's how they've been anointed. Be thankful for what you're experiencing. Be thankful for what you're enjoying. You know, it amazes me how much in the Bible talks about enjoying food and drink. And I know you guys are looking at me going, that guy enjoys some food. But seriously, we get to enjoy the people that are in our lives that we love, that we care about. Some of those people are certainly annoying. Yes, I know. Just have a rule tomorrow. We don't talk politics or religion or whatever you got to do to not fight with your uncle or cousin or whatever. But learn to enjoy. Instead of finding all the things that are wrong, gratitude gives us a lens so that we can find the things that can be enjoyed and experienced and make the moments richer. So I want to give you gratitude tomorrow. And also, I know a lot of things have gone poorly in the last 12 months, but a lot of things have gone well. Haven't they? I mean, we're all sitting here. Not many of us have lost weight. Some of you have. Congratulations. We look like we have clothes, and we look like we have people around us who love us. I'm just saying, if you would like to be happy tomorrow, Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Start with some gratitude. Start with some gratefulness. So I think gratitude will make you happy over the holidays. Another thing that will make you happy and something that Jesus fought for was empathy. And I know it's a fancy word. It's really a word my wife uses way more than me. But still, I have known a lot of truly miserable people in my life. I really have. I have known a lot of truly miserable people in my life who believe it is their mission to also share their misery with me. If I'm happy, they're not happy that I'm happy. Okay? And I've experienced this firsthand. I could tell you stories for hours, actually. I used to work at a place that positive thinking was not the norm. And so I just want you to know, first of all, when someone is miserable, have pity on them. Because they're living in an echo chamber that they can't escape. You know, and you could shine some light in that, by the way. But begin to ask yourself some questions about the people in your life, especially the ones that are difficult. I used to love, Zig Ziglar used to say, he said, there are only 10 really mean, nasty people in the world, but they get around. That's how he used to say it. I always loved him. But anyway, just realize that people have feelings and people are experiencing things, and how they're experiencing them is, that's what empathy is. It's learning to understand and empathize with how someone's feeling about things. This is really important, and it's important in the world because there are people in prison, people lonely, people sick, people by themselves and so forth that need someone to understand they're having a rough time, that their feelings, the way they feel is not good. But also, I think it's really important to understand that you do have people who live with you. You might call them a spouse or husband, wife, sweetie, dingleberry, whatever you call each other. You have children, and I don't know if you know this, so I'm going to tell you, please don't get angry. You might not be the easiest person on the planet to live with. Just throwing that out there as a possibility. Now, I know you're sitting there going, no, it's not me, it's them. And I just want you to know that there are two of you messing up things, not just you, okay? That there are, or not just them, there are, and however many people are in your family. And so empathy comes along and realizes something. And this is not my favorite thing to realize, but I had a reminder just this very week. I'm not the easiest person to live with. Sometimes I get, for lack of a better word, triggered. Do you ever get triggered? We have a special needs son, and he is like a DOS program. Do you know what DOS is? It's a very old programming language. And what I mean is, when someone hits the command key and trips his trigger, the program must run to either completion or failure. And I can't remember what it was yesterday. It was something, it was a toy he wanted to play with, and he was in the, and the toy wouldn't work. And so his trigger got tripped, and now it was, I'm going to play with this toy, whether it works or not, until either the thing fails or I play with this toy. And the funny thing is, God has used him to teach me that I'm the same way. People come in my life and they say things to me that hurt my feelings or make me angry or remind me of some wound that I might have in my soul or spirit. And all of a sudden, bam, I am triggered. And it happens all the time. I know when I'm getting triggered because all of a sudden I get defensive. Oh, yeah? Is that what you think? Yeah? Well, what about you? I mean, that's maybe how it comes out. I'm not saying I do that because I'm pretty mature. Just saying. Then you might have some faults too. And so I just want you to know that there are people in your life that are experiencing you, and you should have some grace on those people. You should have some grace on those people. That's what empathy is. So tomorrow, just a case in point, it's probably not like this in your house, but if maybe your wife is stressed because things aren't going like she imagined, rather than saying, oh, just do something else, think about something else, or it's no big deal. If you've been married very long, you know those are dumb things to say, but maybe you're newer and don't know. But rather than that, maybe step into her shoes a minute and imagine how stressful it would be to have this expectation. Actually, I think what a lot of people have is they have a desire, especially when it comes to children. We want our children to experience some things. And so step into her shoes for a minute, have some grace, or whoever it is, and be patient with each other. So if you'd like to be happy for Christmas, I'm going to recommend gratitude. I'm going to recommend empathy. And then the last thing I'm going to recommend is presence. We're going to talk a lot about presence next Sunday, but today we're going to look at it from your perspective and you. Most of us spend our lives either regretting the past or fearing the future. And that is a horrible way to live. Because you are never in, you cannot control the past and you cannot control the future. You can't change the past. There are things that you, those, none of those, neither of those are moments that you are either in or can do anything about. And so what I want to teach you to do today is, one, let go of the past. That's what grief is about, by the way. If some of you are going through some grief cycles over lost people in your lives, lost job, lost opportunities, lost anything, relationships, whatever, if you're going through those, go through the grief process. Yes, it takes time, but it is a process by which we release the past. And that is so important to Christians today. We're terrible at grief, and doesn't make any sense because we're the only ones that Jesus said, hey, I'm going to send you a comforter. We have a full-time, 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week comforter living in our hearts, and we're afraid to do grief.
That's right.
So I want to teach you today to let go of the past. That's what grief is about. And then I want to teach you, don't fear the future. Romans 8:28, God is working everything out for good. I'm going to tell you something. By faith, I know that things, don't get mad, that things are getting better. Things are getting better. God's moving. Now, I know you're sitting there going, well, maybe things are getting better, but it doesn't look like it's getting better. And here's a secret Christians know if they think about it, and it's this. It never looks like it's getting better. But it is. It looked really bad when Jesus was put on the cross. No one said, hey, it looks like it's getting better. I don't think Mary looked at that newborn baby sitting in a feed trough going, I'm not sure if things are getting better. That she could have said that. But the light of the world had just been born, and the world just couldn't see it yet. And that cross was just a doorway to a resurrection that released us all from the power of sin in the grave. So just because politicians are still stupid, the economy is still weird and wonky, just because things are exactly as they have always been, they just get reported on a whole lot more. Just because of that doesn't mean God isn't doing good in the world. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to be present in the present. To be in this moment right now. So every now and then I struggle with attitude and thoughts. And recently I had an epiphany about myself. And maybe you can, or at least an awareness, and maybe you can identify. I realized that for the last several years, I haven't been looking forward to things. I've been dreading things. And my life has been a lot of, if we can just get through this, and if we can just get through that. And some of you are like that today. You're like, if I can just get through Christmas, if I can just get through the new year, if I can just get through January, if I can just get through. And you are not in your moments. You are dreading your future. And you know, let me tell you a little secret. If you learn to practice gratitude and empathy, those things that you dread will not be dreadful. It's true. And I could give you a personal example, but it's too recent, too close, and I don't want to blow up my wife. Like, I don't want to tell her she's right in front of all you people. And so, I can't do that. I want to ask you to take today. And then when tomorrow comes, take tomorrow and be present in the day. And when those presents are opened, or you have dinner with your family tonight, or whatever you choose to do over the next few days, would you do yourself the kindness of being present? Because I believe this is, and like I said, I'll tap into this very closely next Sunday, but I believe this is what Jesus died for. One of the many, many things is that we have the ability to actually be present in our present. And I think many of you know this. I think my wife and I, we have, every now and then, we have a discussion about what we call face-to-face and side-by-side time. And what that means is, in our relationship, I very much want my wife with me for everything, but I don't necessarily want to talk about everything. And I know you women just said, that's very strange. Why would he not want to talk? But that's me. I want her with me. I want her, like, driving in the truck or working on something. I want her there with me. Her presence around me is comforting to me, I guess. But I love it. Now, that does not work for her. I mean, me being in the car with her while she's driving, that is not helpful to her. Not helpful to me either, because I'm very control-oriented, and I'm like, no, hit the brakes. Anyway, so you can use your brakes every so often, honey. I love you. Anyway, so she calls it face-to-face time. She wants to look at me and communicate with me, and she wants to know I'm in the moment. See, I like side-by-side because I can be preoccupied. I can be everywhere. But she wants face-to-face because she wants me in the moment with her. By the way, I think this is exactly what worship is, and I think this is why God, one of the many reasons God put Eve in the world, is so there would be someone in his image who would demand that we be present. And I thank her for that gift, and I want to give it to you. Would you like to have some happiness the next 2 days instead of a lot of stress? Be thankful for all the good things. The wonderful things. Look at those children that kept you up half the night or that demanded something you didn't want to give them or whatever it was. And remember, they are a gift from God, but for a season. Look at those grown children who do not really appreciate your advice or counsel at the moment. And so it does happen, I know. And you know what? You didn't raise them to live their life for them. You raised them to live their life in the world that they know. Cut them some slack. Be thankful for them. Enjoy the time you get. Have some empathy. Toward your spouse is a great place to start, but toward your kids. Kids are so overstimulated this time of year. There's a lot going on. It's hard to be good when you're overstimulated. It's hard for me to be good when I'm overstimulated. So keep that in mind. Have some compassion. Have some empathy. But most of all, be like Jesus and be present with the people around you. Wasn't he always like that? I mean, I love how Jesus could just show up when he was there. And I could tell you stories, but that's not my goal. Would you like to be happy? By the way, don't tell me you're filled with joy if your life isn't showing some happiness. If you'd like to be happy, gratitude, empathy, presence. Father, I thank you so much for this chance to talk to our guests and friends today and our church body. And Lord, I've given some counsel from your word, from Jesus' example, from a lot of places. Lord, I'm going to ask you this morning to fill this church with some joy and happiness. I'm going to ask you, Lord, as we sing together, as I pray that you would give us the grace to be grateful for what you have done through Jesus as we sing these songs, that you would give us the empathy to know that not everyone's having it easy this time of year, and that some are having it great, and we can share in the joys and the sorrows. But also, Lord, and mainly, I ask that you help us and give us a moment where we are present in you and with each other, for this is what worship's about. So, Lord, help us these next few songs to sing together and to be in this moment. Thank you for the children and how good they have been. I pray that you would help us as families and as friends to be present in worship right now. In Jesus' name, amen.